Welcome back to Vasper Today. This is our Q&A segment where we dig into your questions and go a little deeper on the week's wildest tech stories. Thanks to everyone who sent in thoughts after the main episode. Let's get into it.
First up, we've got a question from Priya in Chicago. She asks, with GPT 5.4 being so much more human and direct, is there a risk that people will start relying on it for emotional support or even decision-making in ways that aren't healthy? Where's the line?
That's a great one, Priya. The fascinating part is, as these models get more conversational and emotionally intelligent, it's easy to forget you're talking to an algorithm. There's a real risk of over-reliance, especially for folks who might be isolated or looking for validation. Technically, GPT 5.4 is trained to recognize and respond to emotional cues, but it doesn't actually feel anything. It's pattern matching, not empathizing.
And let's be honest, sometimes you just want a chatbot to tell you what you want to hear. But that's where it gets tricky. If you start outsourcing big life decisions or emotional processing to an AI, you're missing out on real human connection and, honestly, accountability. My advice? Use it as a sounding board, not a therapist. And if you're feeling stuck, talk to an actual person.
Exactly. Think of it as a tool for brainstorming or clarifying your thoughts, but not a replacement for professional advice or genuine relationships.
Okay, switching gears, Mike from Austin writes, with the US government banning Claude AI, could this push more AI innovation overseas? Or will it just make US companies double down on less ethical practices to win contracts?
Here's what's really going on. This kind of ban sends a signal globally. If the US is willing to cut off a major player like Anthropic over ethics, you can bet other countries are watching. And some may welcome those companies with open arms. We could see a talent and innovation drain if US policy gets too rigid.
But on the flip side, there's always someone willing to fill the gap. If the government's priorities are surveillance and defense, there will be startups, maybe less scrupulous ones, ready to play ball. That could mean a race to the bottom on ethics, unless there's real oversight.
The next 2 to 3 years could see a split. U.S. companies that stick to their values might focus on private sector and international markets, while others pivot to meet government demands. It's a test of who shapes the future, policy or principle.
And for listeners working in tech, keep an eye on where your company's values actually land when the contracts are on the table.
Now, here's a technical one from Lena in Seattle. How does Microsoft's new Copilot actually execute tasks across apps? Is it just fancy scripting, or is there something more advanced under the hood?
I love this question because I'm always wondering if it's just smoke and mirrors.
It's more than just macros or scripts. Copilot's using what's called agentic orchestration. Basically, it builds a real-time map of your workflow, understands context across different apps, and then uses secure APIs to take actions on your behalf. It's not just following a script, it's reasoning about what you want, checking permissions, and adapting if something changes mid-task.
So if I ask it to schedule a meeting and then realize I double-booked, it can actually adjust on the fly?
Exactly. It can negotiate conflicts, pull in relevant data, and even ask for clarification if it's unsure. The magic is in the context awareness and the ability to chain actions intelligently, not just execute a list of commands.
That's both impressive and a little scary. I guess the practical tip is double-check what it's doing. Especially at first.
Absolutely. Trust, but verify, at least until you know its quirks.
Next up, we've got a contrarian take from Jordan in New York. Everyone's hyped about NVIDIA's Nemo Claw being open source and hardware agnostic, but could this actually make enterprise AI less secure? What's the catch?
Consider the implications. Open source platforms are great for transparency and customization, but they also open the door to more attack vectors if not managed carefully. Enterprises will need to invest in robust security practices. Think regular audits, strict access controls, and real-time monitoring.
And let's be real, not every company has a crack security team. The risk is that smaller players jump on NemoClaw for the flexibility, but end up exposed because they don't lock it down properly.
The upside is, with open source, vulnerabilities are often found and patched faster. But it's not a free pass. Responsibility shifts to the user. If you're in IT, start planning for more rigorous security protocols before rolling out any open agent platform.
Last one for today, Samira from Toronto asks, with YouTube's new deepfake detection, do you think this will actually stop misinformation, or will bad actors just find new ways to get around it?
The reality is, it's an arms race. Detection tools are getting better, but so are the fakes. The fascinating part is, YouTube's using multimodal AI, analyzing audio, video, and metadata together to spot subtle manipulations. That raises the bar for would-be deceivers.
But let's not kid ourselves. No system is perfect. There will always be edge cases that slip through, and some creators will just move to less regulated platforms. The real win is making it harder and riskier to spread convincing fakes at scale.
And for journalists and politicians, this means you need to stay vigilant, but you've got a new layer of defense. For everyone else, keep your skepticism dialed up, especially in an election year like 2026.
That's a wrap on our Q&A. Thanks for sending such sharp questions. Keep them coming. We love digging into the details with you.
Stay curious, stay critical, and remember, in 2026, the only constant in tech is change. See you next time on Vasper Today.